Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them follow him, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated "is stone." Well, look, this morning, for a few moments, if you had your Bibles, you can turn to that portion we read together this morning, John chapter 1, and we have a text which is taken from verse 41. Now, when we open God's Word, when we take a text like this, God is speaking to us. God is confronting us. God has something to say to us through his word, and in this text today, through his apostles. And this is the word, simply here, in verse 41, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated "the Christ." And when you find this account today, what you find is this, is that God is speaking to us through those apostles with this one word, very simple: "We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And in this account you have of these disciples, first of all, of John the Baptist, who at the place where John was baptizing, and there came a day where Jesus came to John, and he was baptized, and John recognized him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And when he said that, you find it here in verse 35, and the next day John stood with his two disciples looking at Jesus. As he walked, he said those words, "Behold the Lamb of God," and two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus. And what happened then was this, is that they spent the day with Jesus. They asked where he was staying. They went to the house. And then when they heard him speak, we're told here that it was Andrew, first of all, who then went to seek for his brother, Simon Peter, and told him these words, "We have found the Christ." And that is the thought I want you to consider. I want you to hear that word which is being spoken to us through God's word, through the apostles, that these men had found the Christ. Let me ask you the question. Have you known what it is to have found Christ? That's very important. If there's a longing in our heart this day from this place, is that you too will also find the Christ in your life. Now, I know that you may have come here for many reasons this morning. People come here perhaps because there are things which are not right in their body and they need a healing. I can say to you, you come to Jesus this day and you pray to him. You know, he can touch you and you can know the blessing of his power in your life. But I don't want you just to come here and to find a touch and a healing in one's body. There are those which come here and I would ask you, why do you come? And you say, well, I come because I find a friendliness. That's good. We want to be friendly. I find a peace that you don't find somewhere else. I find now when I come on the first Sunday morning, there's a structure and an order to my life. And you find that, and you find then that you enjoy the music and you enjoy the hymns. There are many things that you may find when you come here this day. But in saying all that, what you really need to find is this. You need to find the Christ. And when we speak about these things, we're not speaking to you about finding a pattern of life. We're not preaching to you today about some principles that you need to place into your life. But we want to speak to you about the person of Jesus Christ, and that you can come and that you can know him. And you know, we're going to press the point home today, because if it's the only thing that you ever hear from this place, it's the one thing, the most important thing. And it may be today, sadly, I tell you where we are. You've got more chance of hearing the name Christ spoken on the street or in the pub than in any place of worship, even today. They'll curse him, they'll swear of him, but you won't find him worshipped. The name of him is not even spoken. The title that is given to him, the honour. We can talk about many things, as I said. You can come here because you need to be a good husband and a good wife and a good mother and a good father. And I could give you some kind of diet in which will empower you and make you a very strong person. For at the end of the day, there's a great need that we would know what it is to have found the Christ. And that's going to be our little thought, which I want to open up to you and to consider it in this manner of what then Andrew was saying to his brother Peter when he tells them this news. Now, as I mentioned, The only time that you hear the very name of Christ mentioned, sadly, is so often as an expletive. And no one knows the real honour and the magnitude of that name. And even perhaps, as I'll show you, that Andrew himself, when he speaks of it, he doesn't speak of that word as an expletive. He may not understand everything that he's saying, but what he's doing is this, is that in this book which you find, from the cover to cover, from the very first promise that God made to this world was this, that there would be one which was born of a woman which would bruise the head of the serpent. That's in the very third chapter of the Bible. And it was a promise which was given to mankind that there would be one which would come, a person would come into this world. And when you read that account, we're told that then he would come by the seed of Abraham, and that he would come by the seed of David. And there were people which were looking and longing for that coming of the person who was the Messiah and the promised one. It's a loaded word, the one chosen of God and anointed of God. And although they may not have understood fully and everything of what they had found, yet they did know that that is what they had found and were looking for. That's what you need to know. I mean, because people are looking in many directions today for the answers and the problems which are found in this world. People are looking to the education, to science, and to modern technology. But don't you know that God has given an answer? And that answer is found in a person, in a person. And when they say they have found the Christ, like I said to you, they may not have understood everything about who Jesus Christ really is. We know that because it took them a number of even years after, when they were walking with him and listening to him, and he was teaching them. And one day he asked them the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then there was the enlightenment that this one is even God in the flesh. They never understood until after he had risen again from the dead of what he was to be the Christ. They thought he was to liberate them from the Romans, to give them political freedom, to aid them as a nation. And Jesus had to show them that the Christ had to suffer many things and he had to lay down his life and die for our sins. They never understood it, but they did know this, that they had found the one who the prophets had spoken of and the one that they had come, that this was the promised one. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you ever found anything. You may be a treasure hunter. You know, people do have hobbies, and one of them is one of these detectors, and, you know, they go around, and then they have these kind of noises, and they dig, and they find. And when you do find something, even if you, whatever you found, you get a little bit excited. You may not realize what you found. And then you find this little coin, and then someone says, "Well, I'll tell you something about that coin. It's a very old coin. It's a very special coin. It's a very rare coin." And more you learn about it, how rare it is, how expensive it is, the value of it. Now, let me just speak to you about what was taking place at this time. When Andrew and the disciples, at that very moment in the history of this world, there was a rumbling. There was a tension. I mean, you can look into the history books. There was this messianic fervor which was taking place. The hope and the desires of the nations, people were feeling it. If you remember, 30 years before this, the wise men were looking into the sky. They saw the star. And they came to Jerusalem. and said, where is he who was born King of the Jews? That's what the word Christ means. The anointed one, the king, the priest, the prophet. And then if you remember that what happened on that night, I'm just telling you, this is how the scriptures say it. Here it is now. What happened was that around then Bethlehem were shepherds. And the angels came and proclaimed to them and said, is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And then you read this, that when those shepherds went back, they continually talked to everyone in the hillsides, to their families, to their friends, to their neighbours, to the communities, of the visitation that they had. They never forgot that. And if anybody asked, what's it like being a shepherd? Anything exciting happened? Well, straight away they would be able to say, I tell you, years ago, 20 years ago, we were out in the night, and that talk was going around the countryside. We know that what happened when Jesus was born, he was brought into the temple. This is now where the Jews come, three times a year, to the temple to worship. There were two people there, Anna and Simeon. And it says that they then proclaimed to everyone who came into the temple that they had found the redemption of Israel. That was the talk. That was the fervor. And then there was the appearing of this man, John the Baptist. And you read it in verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John, that when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed, and he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That was the question. That was on people's lips. That's what people were looking for. The tension had come. God's Saviour had come into this world. News had been going around, and they were waiting for him. And John was the forerunner, which was then to identify him. He was the one in whom the Spirit was to rest upon. And the day came when Jesus Christ was baptized of John, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And then he says, behold the Lamb of God. And they followed Jesus. And then they say, we have found the Christ. Now, that's why I'm going to put to you this question this morning. What have you found when you have come to a place of worship? What have you found when you come on a Sunday? You may have found something which gives you a security. As I mentioned, people, they find perhaps a moral order by which they can live. They find something that of a ritual or even an architecture or a tradition of what they find. When you ask people, what do you get out of going to a place of worship? What do you find there? These are some of the answers they give. And you know, every time someone gives that answer, do you know what they're saying? We've not found him. We've not found him. Every time you have come, and as good as it's been to you, the blessing that it may be, you're proclaiming, and we do it in church. Church will help you to be good. Church will help you to be kind. Church will help you these things. But you've not actually found him. Now, what is the great blessing? Let's not lose it. What is the great blessing of Christianity? Is it not Christ? And when you come and you no longer hear about Christ and about him, it's about a person. It's not about patterns and principles and ways that you could walk, but this about Jesus Christ. And they could say that they had found him. I just wonder what's happened in our places of worship, that whatever else we have today, that we cannot seem to find him. That's what they found. And with that, could I say, perhaps let's push this a bit further, perhaps what we've lost, what we've lost. Now let me describe to you of even in churches such as this, what we're speaking about is that when we speak of a person, we're not speaking that we've just simply found the carpenter. It's not only that we simply found the teacher. We've not simply found the social worker, but we've found the Christ. And that's what is really important. And if I could just highlight to you of what's perhaps missing so often in our own experience, our Christian experience, is that, you know, you could say, well, look, I go to church, I found God, that's good. I found Jesus, that's good, I can trust you. You need to find Jesus. But when you found Jesus, what do you find? The Christ. And yet what happens is that people think, because we're in a brand of day of Christian expression, where people can tell you that they love Jesus, they know Jesus, and Jesus helps them, and he's with them, that is wonderful. I can assure you today that if you come to Jesus, he will be with you, he'll never leave you. We sing the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But surely, you've got to say a little bit more. He's not just someone who's Jesus who will fix it. Jesus who will help. I've not found a Jesus, what would you do? I found a Christ who has come to deliver and has come then to save and come to help and come to heal and come to bring us to God. I found the King, I found the Prophet, I found the Priest, I found the one which my soul longs for. Now I just want you to look at this for a moment. How it is that perhaps we have missed something, even this day. I'm just going to give you one chapter of the Bible, and it's in just one to highlight this. When you read the New Testament, this is what you read. May the grace, what? Of Jesus? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. When Jesus prayed, when he was there in the garden, he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you and of Jesus and of Jesus Christ who you've sent into this world. And I'm just going to highlight to you that when you read the New Testament, very infrequently is the name Jesus expressed on its own. It's always presented to us mainly, 90%, perhaps even more, as Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. I'm going to read it to you. Galatians, I'm going to pick up the verses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. This is what it says. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was truly portrayed among you as crucified. You find it again there, for example, remember that? Jesus Christ, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You find it again, verse 14. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Here again in verse 16. And the seeds as of many, as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. You find it again, verse 17. And confirmed before by God in Christ. You find it again, do we not? Here it is in these verses. In verse, let's have a look. Verse 22. But the scripture confirmed all under sin, that the promise of Jesus Christ might be given. Verse then, 24. He was a tutor to bring us to Christ. Look at this in verse 26. You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27, how could you miss this? As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And when we come, and I'm just saying to you, do you see the enormity which was being placed before them? And when we come and we preach to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified, that we're speaking about the one who is the king and the priest and the prophet. He was the one who died for you. He is the anointed of God, the chosen of God. He's the one, the one who's able with the Spirit of God. And when you think of that, you see, there is a real pastoral problem that we have. Because I think we've taken out in our understanding and we've not come to grasp fully and no more Jesus Christ. This is how it goes. Now, many people have come here over the years from many different places of worship. And in these places of worship, they may even have the Bible being preached to them. And these people, I'm not going to deny it for one moment, they love Jesus in some manner. They do think a lot of Jesus. Jesus is what they hear of all the time. Jesus is what's being taught. The Bible's being opened. But when you ask them the one question, are you going to heaven? They can't answer it. They can't answer it. And you think to yourself, how can it be that you know the Bible, you've come to Jesus, you say you believe in Him, and then I ask you, are you going to heaven? And it is just a fog and a mist which comes over people's minds. Now that happens regular. One of the reasons is this. Do you see what we know? They may have not known. We have found the Christ, the one who's able to deliver us, to save us. And as we know now fully, it wasn't politically, but spiritually. He's the one who's able to bring us to God. He is the anointed, the title He's got. To be the Christ means you are the King. And He's the one who's able to save and protect and to provide for you in your life. That you have one who's ruling over you and governing all your ways and giving and providing. You have one this day who is the priest and is the Christ who was crucified. And by His precious blood and on that cross of Calvary, that you can come and you can know what it is, that you could come into the very presence of God. How people don't know of this. And of the Christ who has come to reveal and to know the purposes of God. I tell you what we've got. This is what we've got today. I just want you to think of what you've found. This is not a place that preaches what would Jesus do? Jesus does things I can never do. Jesus does things no one else could do. We've come to preach you what Christ has done. As the hymn writer puts it, Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in Thee I find. Raise the downcast. Cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. And you know what you've come and that you've found. Now look, in your Christian life, perhaps one of the weaknesses may be this, that you have not really, you've come to Jesus. People do for many things. Just like these people, they followed Jesus. But when they followed Him, the first thing they came to know was He was the Christ. Let me just say that one of the weaknesses in our Christian experiences is because in our prayers even, in our living, in our insecurities, in our lack of assurance, is that we don't understand the very person of who Jesus really is and what He has come really to do. And it can have an effect in the deepest parts of your life. I remember many years ago, just giving you an example, and there are those which come from different traditions, and one comes from a tradition, for example, where God is far away, far away. And then what you've got is that they can't come to him. But when you come to know that he is the Christ, the high priest, that you don't need any other priest, that you realize that you've got access to the Almighty God, there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, that in him you can come. I remember praying with someone a number of years ago from a different tradition. And as they began, they didn't say this. They, sweet Jesus, and don't get me wrong, it's nice that we've got this close relationship to him. But this person began in their prayers to God. Oh, Christ. And when he said that, do you know, there was a power in it. There really was. That what we were asking was going to be heard. What needed to be done would be, has the power. What we needed to hear, all this was from him. Now, perhaps that's something that we've lost this day. But I want you to think upon it, that you could go from this place this morning and say that you have found the Christ. I actually do want you to go from this place today to say these words, you have found the Christ, because that's what you bring in verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, what he found, what he found. And if you are then this day someone who's come to Jesus, I want you, and there is a place for us to go from this place today to tell others what you have found. Now, it may be in your life, just like Andrew, that you don't know fully. You haven't come to that full realization of who Jesus is, why he really came. But what you do know is this, that there is one which God has sent, which is able to save you this very day, to save you from all your needs, from your sin, from hell, from death, from judgment. There's one who has come. I don't understand how he did, but you know that you know that. And you're like that person who's found treasure in one way, that as you came to know him, you know a little bit more of him, and you begin to understand him more, and you go and tell people of what you found. This is what the Bible says, that in Christ Jesus, we have all spiritual blessings. Now, I don't know what it was like with you, but there are those of you which have been perhaps a Christians for a long time. And when you come to him, every spiritual blessing is found in him. And you can say to those people today, this is what I have found. I have found forgiveness. I found everlasting life. I found God's Spirit in my heart. I found now I've got new sight. I've got a new life. I've got new direction. I have found all these blessings. I have found them in Christ. Now that is what one desperately wants. That when you've come here this morning, and I know that, don't take it for granted, there are many things which may not be right, even in this place. It may not be right. There are things which are not as good as perhaps they should be. But it is the hope that when you do go from this place, you have found the pearl of greatest price. You have found the treasure which is hidden in the field. You have found what your soul needs and is longing for. And in the preaching of the word and the gospel, you came to know Jesus and you knew him as the anointed, the appointed, and the chosen of God. I came and I found that in a place like this. That when you've come here on the times when we remember his death and his sufferings, you have come and you have found the presence and the power and the Spirit of Christ even amongst us. And when you've come here in this place and you say, what have I found? I have found there has been one who has been singing with me those psalms and the hymns, and he has stood in the great congregation. I have heard the voice of Christ. I found him. And that is the great hope. What else are we about? We miss it. You may have many needs. He's the one who's able to help you. I'll just close very quickly. If you don't know him this day, you need to find him. And the only way that you can find him is by faith. By faith. And you say, well, what faith is that? This faith. Just like these, we have found the Christ. Do you get it? You've been looking in other places for the solutions and the problems and the difficulties we face in this world today. You've been looking in all the wrong avenues this world has had in its history. There is no one who can bring you that salvation but the one which God promised. And although I may not understand it, I believe that. I believe there was one. And Jesus Christ is that one. There are many false Christs which have gone out into the world and denied that Jesus has come in the flesh. But you come and you believe. And you believe the one in which tells you God became a man and dwelt amongst us. Look, there's a great need. People have it out there. You say, what's the answer? Oh, it's Jesus. We do know that. It's Jesus. And when they come to him, may they find him as their prophet, their priest, and their king that will bring them safely home to glory.